prophecy of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter and the 21st verse. 21st verse in the 31st chapter of the prophecy of Jeremiah. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps. Set thy heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. There are in the Word of God some very wonderful contrasts, even again and again. In one chapter we find some very severe rebuke, and then perhaps in two or three verses later there's a great change. There's one thing more certain, my friends: if the Lord has given us an ear, a heart to attend to his rebukes, there will be following in due time consolation. But the Lord has promised to his children that in the world he shall have tribulation. In me, peace. In the world. Well, friends, we're in the world, to be sure. I understand it to include all the sorrows, by the way, that God's dear children must pass through. We do not like sorrow. We do not like trouble. And there is a reasoning power within us, sometimes hard at work on this matter. Could not God bless us without letting us have all this trouble? Well, according to his own word, this is put before us in different forms, again and again, and concentrated in this, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. When you and I come into trouble, we cannot, as a rule, we cannot see what good there can be in this. How can good come out of that? You know, there were those who said, when they were invited and when they were asked to come and when they were told, we found him. Those who testified said, we found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. You remember the answer, can any good come out of Nazareth? I understand that to mean this is a very poor place, Nazareth. We don't expect good things to come out of that place. It's got a bad name. Come and see. And that's what the Lord will say to his dear children, come and see. But as I was saying, and what wonderful contrasts there are in the Word of God, and how again and again, after the Lord has rebuked his child, there's something quite different. Look at this word just in front of the text. Is Ephraim my dear son? And as we look at the word and this connection in the original, it might be expressed somewhat after the manner of an exclamation rather than a question, "Ephraim, my dear son, he's a pleasant child. You see, that isn't quite the same as a question, is it? A pleasant child. You sometimes see a mother looking at the little one. Ah, what endearing expressions. Now this is a reminder. Yes. Ah, as a father pities, and as a mother comforteth the little one. Ephraim, my dear son, a pleasant child. Oh, who can express what is wrapped up in that? Pleasant? Oh, my dear friends, you that are convinced of sin, you'll find a very powerful enemy in your soul suggesting that such words cannot at all apply to you. No, since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Then he called upon his dear children, set thee up waymarks, make thee high heap. Some of you have had waymarks. But oh, my dear friends, you, some of you know what unbelief is, and it is a most dreadful enemy. A most dreadful enemy. I am sometimes reminded, but dear Robert Muffin said to me once, when I was complaining to him, he said something like this, "Friend Bendrix, you magnify your troubles and what the devil can do, and you minimize, you belittle what God has done in your soul." Oh, I knew he was right. Yes, I did. But there is that tendency, isn't there? Sometimes, in a poor child of God, oh, we must spread the thing out, as it were. I mean, as to the power of Satan, what he can do in disturbing and distressing his mind. But if the Lord shines for a moment, oh, well, that's soon gone, isn't it? Soon gone. Like the early dew. But I do believe there are times when a child of God is really ashamed of his sin. I do. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. What an expression. How can any mortal magnify God? Well, I understand it in the sense in which I've just mentioned. There is that tendency, because of unbelief, to belittle. Make it little what God does. Ah, but the psalmist said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." It does not signify by any means that the Lord can in any way or any of his work, so to speak, be greater and be made greater than it really is. But there is, shall I call it, a sweet rebuke to his dear children for this belittling of the work of God in their soul. They're so afraid of boasting, aren't they? Yes, they are. They're afraid of boasting. But there is this precious exhortation, set the upway marks. When the Lord says that, he will enable you to do it, and he will remind you of some of these way marks which you'd almost forgotten. Ah, we do forget, don't we? Well, the Lord says to his dear children, "Thou hast forgotten me days without number." And he also says this, "I will never forget thee. I will never forget thee." Oh, doesn't this break a poor sinner down when he realizes that? "Thou hast forgotten God," oh, so many times, in so many ways. And the Lord gently and sweetly says, "I have not forgotten thee. I will not forget thee. Forget thee, I will not. I cannot. Thy name engraved on my heart does forever remain. The palms of my hands, when I look on, I see the wounds I endured when suffering. There's one thing, friends, I do believe all the dear children of God greatly complain about, and that is a hard, unfeeling heart. Oh, what a distress. Sometimes when you come into the worship and the assembly, oh, this hard, unfeeling heart. And what a heap of things rush into the mind. You're reminded of the words of dear old Bunyan. Aren't we sometimes? There's a praying soul, he wants to get out, he wants to talk to God. And Bunyan says, and Satan's looking on, he'll land that up with dirt, that gate, yes, mouth gate, land it up with dirt. Make the man think of anything but the things he wants to dwell on and plead before God. Oh, he's a great enemy. Ah, Jesus is above him, isn't he? He's above him. Oh, how sweet it is. I do remember once, many years ago, complaining to a dear old man who was a member of Birmingham, Frederick Street, talking about the devil and what he was doing to me and in me and so on. He smiled very sweetly at me. It was a sweet smile. He said, I've always believed that Jesus was above him, above the devil. It's very sweet when you are enabled to believe that, and that he will kindly exercise this gracious power. Have any of us got obstacles in the way? Oh, say you, there's nothing I would more delight in if the Lord would help me to set up these way marks and make high heaps, not in pride, no, but thankfulness. Oh, I long to do it. But there are things in the way. Perhaps one particular thing in the way. Yes. Well, you know what Jesus said? Isn't it a precious word? Oh, when he comes home, it is. Bring him to me. Bring him to me. Is it a him? Or is it a her? It doesn't matter what it is or who it is. Bring it to me. Bring him to me. Bring her to me. Haven't you and I talked in this way sometimes? Oh, I should get on very well if it wasn't for him. If it wasn't for her. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Well, there's the answer of Jesus. And if you've got life in your soul, you will hear that, my friend. You will. Bring it to me. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Set the up way marks. Wasn't it a day for a way mark when the Lord stopped you and me? If it is indeed the truth that he did stop us, and so that we can join with one of our hymn writers in this, but for free and sovereign grace, I still had lived estranged from God, till hell had proved the destined place of my deserved but dreadable. And then you know how he goes on. Some of you have joined in that, I believe, sometimes, but oh, amazed, I see the hand that stopped me in my wild career. A miracle of grace is a way mark, isn't it? A miracle of grace, I stand, and all is taught my heart to fear. There was a time when I didn't fear. I didn't fear him. I had no regard to him. No, he stopped me. And that was a way mark, wasn't it? Oh, you can't altogether forget it, can you? And one hymn writer, I think it's Erskine, who says somewhere in some of his writings, thy husband then was sweet. Wasn't it sweet? Come into the house of God and being able to forget everything but the things of God, the things of Jesus Christ. Oh, how sweet. You've had some Sabbaths here, some of you. I'm sure you have. Now and then, like that. Yes, lost for the time being to the things of time. Isn't that a way, Mark? Isn't that a high heap? Ah, the Lord will give these things to his people in spite of all their wretched undeservedness. And they sink down and they say, Lord, why me? Why such a wretch as me? Why such a wretch? I cannot understand it, that the Lord will bless me. Oh, how Satan will wrestle. He does with living souls. You can't expect this sort of thing. You read about what the Lord has done for this man and the other man. Sometimes, you know, in their lives and biographies and so on, oh, you sighed over them and you said, oh, I wish I had something like this. There's something outstanding here. Ah, there's a way, Mark. Well, as sure as you are longing after these things, you will get it, my friend. He knows what you're after. You want to glorify him, don't you? You want to magnify him. You want to speak to his honor and glory. You don't want the glory. You know what I mean. In what we call our right mind, we don't want the glory. He must have the glory. Is not it a brand plucked out of the fire? Well, it is. Set thy heart toward the highway. It was more particularly this middle section of the text seemed laid on my mind there to go. Set thy heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. The Lord knew very well, he knows very well the way we went. At this particular time, oh, my time was the time of love. Do you remember the time of love? But he drew you in. How you could go with Ruth, you did go with her in spirit. Yes, thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Entreat me not to leave thee. Ah, you see, when Naomi used that language, it was, as you might say, a sort of test. It wasn't that she wanted to drive her away, but it was a kind of test. Go home to thy people. I'm only a poor widow. You can see where I am. You'll get no profit by coming with me. That's what Naomi meant, wasn't it? Yes, it'll be a sorrowful life if you come with me. Ah, but there was something else, wasn't there? Oh, there was something else. Indeed there was. I mean that Ruth could see. Yes, my precious faith. She could see something else besides sorrow. What? Why, Naomi had told her, of course, about the dealings of God with her people in former days, how he had appeared for them and blessed them and brought them into the land and out from Egypt and so on, and the wonderful way in which his mighty power was displayed and his strong, glorious proofs of his everlasting love. Don't you think those things had taken hold? Yeah, I do think so. Yeah, they took hold. But not of the other one. Ah, very solemn, isn't it? Not of the other one. No, she professed the same things, and she kissed her mother-in-law. Ah, a farewell. But Ruth clave unto her. She didn't kiss her just then. She did in spirit. But she said, I'm going. It's no use. It's no use you pleading with me in that contrary direction. I've heard about your God, and I want to love him, and I want to follow him, and I want to be with you. The way that thou wentest. You see, if you have gone that way, it made such an impression upon your soul, you can't altogether forget it. Oh, how Satan does labor in that direction. Try to blot it out, as it were, from your memory, and fill you up with all sorts of things. You can't. No, when the spirit joins, things are brought to remembrance. And the gracious God says, put me in remembrance. Isn't that a wonderful? Put me in remembrance. Now that's not presumption, is it? If the Lord has said it, and you are obliged to go to him and say something like this sometimes, aren't we? Didst thou not say? Didst thou not say? I will surely do thee good. Didn't he say it? Well, you got amongst God's people, you know that first experience, some of you, you may have met with them in a formal way before that. But when the Lord has appeared and blessed your soul with that peculiar oneness with the children of God, you can't lose sight of it altogether. I say, he will revive it. He will revive it. Your heart says in that hymn, very wonderful hymn, 780, I think it is, and Gatsby's, I feel, my heart, I feel so hard. Oh, isn't that a precious reply on the part of that dear man of God? Jesus can thee soften. Don't you want softening? Don't you feel you want softening? Sometimes you say, I don't believe you're such a hard-hearted creature in the world as I am. It's a trouble. I teach to God's people. A trouble. The way that thou wentest. And the contrast, you see, that there certainly was, in some cases, a very mighty contrast. I mean, even in an external sense. My mind is carried back time after time, and I do beg of God to impress it on me more and more. It's not just a brand plucked out of the fire. We were in the way that will lead to the fire. All the things we were taken up with in the world, some of us. Why, it's a trouble to some of God's people. They can't definitely point out anything of a great contrast, but I'm speaking just for the moment to some of you that know there was a mighty change took place. And when those things after which you followed very earnestly, you hated them, loathed them. What a contrast. Oh, how well I can remember when I was looking forward to the life of an actor. That's what I thought. I mapped it out for myself. Yes. And those things in which I then delighted, they were made loathsome. They were made loathsome. And I was not without rebuke and reproof. You know what I mean. From the world. What's the matter with you? You go to that prayer meeting, a lot of old fogies there. What do you see in that? Whatever in the world is there in that? Why, you come and enjoy yourself with us like you used to. I had that, you know, and some of you may have had it. But I couldn't go. Couldn't go. All the sweetness had gone out of it. Indeed. There was nothing but bitterness and vanity in all those so-called amusements and entertainments. Yes. The way that thou wentest. Now that this man who was formerly buried in novels, and all that was a line of things I delighted in, I could and did occasionally sit up all long hours into the night reading novels. Yes. Oh, yes. One I can remember so vividly. I remember when I got hold of the book, it had such a hold on me. I said to myself, and I did my best to carry it out, I shan't let this book go till I've read every word of it. I don't know how many hundred pages, I must leave that, but that was in my mind. I don't want to leave this, I don't care about dinner or tea or anything else. Perhaps some of you never so carried away as that. Mind you, when I mention these things, friends, I do not refer to them as a sort of standard. Oh dear, no. But sometimes, you know, God's dear children can look back and remember some of the things. They were absolutely swallowed up in the thing. And the Lord stopped it, turned it all upside down. Well then, instead of the novel, the Bible, a book that was most assuredly neglected by me in those unregenerate days. Indeed it was. It was nothing to me. But oh, now, instead of the novel, sitting up far into the night, reading the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. Now let me pause just a moment at this point, because I know very well, my dear friends, that some of you have more than once groaned over this matter. I'll tell you what I mean. Can't find anything in the Word of God to interest me. What a shocking thing for a person to say, isn't it? And for a child of God to say it. I can't find anything. I keep turning over the pages. Nothing takes hold on me. No. But I say, at that particular time, well, it was all sweet and blessed and beautiful and glorious. And I had not dived into the novel more keenly than I found myself diving into the Word of God. What a contrast. Is this anything of a waymark, my friend, if you've had anything like it? The taste completely changed. That's the way thou didst go, poor sinner. There are some here who did go this way. Ah, the Word of God. Oh, how sweet. How glorious. And a feeling, this belongs to me. God speaks to me in this precious Word. God has taken hold of me. I'm not my own. I can't do as I like. As the flesh lies, that means, you know, you can't do as you like. Oh no, ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. Bought with the precious blood of God. This is the spouse of Christ our God, bought with the treasures of His blood. And her request and her complaint is but the voice of every saint. What is it? Why, set me as a seal upon thy heart. Now, that's the way you went. That's the way you went. And oh, how lovely the children of God appeared in your eyes. Perhaps you've seen some faults and blots in them since. Quite possible. But I want to mention that in a moment in this way. If you know what it is to cool off from, and I'm quite sure some of you do, you had that sweet and precious heat from the Spirit of God that enabled you to read His Word with pleasure and sweet delight, thy words were found. And I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. It just comes to my mind, I must mention it, dear old Bunyan says somewhere, I have known the Word of God to be to me so full of glory that I could hardly stand up under it. And at another time, that same word, nothing at all to me, no power, no life. What a contrast. What a contrast. I believe there's some here that know that contrast. Yes. But the way which thou wentest, oh, it wasn't hard work to get to the chapel. Did they have a prayer meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning? I should be there. Oh, we know what nature says, don't we? Some of us do. Oh, that's too early for a prayer meeting. 8 o'clock in the morning. Oh, we've got such a lot to attend to. Can't think about that. I admit this, my friends, that at that present time, I had not family cares and so on, had not a wife, but nevertheless, some of you understand what I mean. The house of God, the people of God, the word of God, prayer meeting. My dear brethren are calling upon God in prayer. I want to be with them. That's the way you went. As I said, they were the people of God. And if any of you should say, oh, there is a change, come over the situation. And now, since then, I've seen something in the people of God I shouldn't like to repeat. You have. Stop a minute. If you're a child of God, you'll see the same things again that you did see formerly in them. The most lovely people on the face of the earth. You will. He'll bring it back. He'll bring you back. He'll open the thing to you. Yes, these are my people. You saw grace in them. You saw the Spirit of Christ in them. And you felt it. Oh, haven't we sometimes said something like this? Oh, dear, I wish I knew more about apostolic days and apostolic love and the state the people were in at that time. Oh, I wish I knew more of it. We've said something like it, haven't we? And leaving the apostles for a moment, even coming only, shall I say, to our own experience, and I know some of you would say, I do believe I know what some of you would say. It's a poor experience. I don't feel I could say anything about it to anybody. Some of you that have not as yet made a profession, you might shrink back and say, oh, don't you begin to cross-examine me on these matters. You're like Mr. Fearing, aren't you? Very sweet account, isn't it, of that man? Boy, dear old Bunyan. He couldn't say very much, but he liked good talk. Do you remember the time when you liked good talk? What sort of talk? Why, what God has done for my poor soul. How he met with me, and how he blessed me. How he brought me out from the world, amongst his people. And what we should call good talk, isn't it? Well, we do wish there was more of it. Yes, indeed, we do. But as I say, friend, if the Lord drops a word like this into your poor soul, he will carry the thing out. He'll give you grace to follow on. He will. You may say, start back and say, oh, I haven't got the strength. I'm such a weakling. Dear me, I couldn't patch anything up. And I'm sure I couldn't put things together if the Church of God should ask me. Therefore, I'll have to stop up here in the corner. He'll bring you out, my friend. You say, come in. He will. To these people. These are the people. He'll draw you in. Draw me. Oh, isn't that a sweet prayer? This isn't a long one, is it? Draw me. You look at different things that have such a drawing power in you and I, and so do I. Quite lately, I've had to say this to the Lord, all that particular thing, no need to mention any specific thing, but you know, some of you, certain things, oh, they're specially attractive. I mean to the natural mind. And the Lord says, my son, give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Oh, dear old Berries, you remember some of the things he says in his hymns? Soon as faith, my Lord conceived, bleeding on the cross for me. Oh, you say that is far beyond me. It's far beyond me. But, and there is some here that do really hunger and thirst after this. You couldn't deny it, you know. There is some of you, I mean, you couldn't deny it. Oh, I wish the Lord would do this for me, this great thing. Show me that I'm thine, that thou didst really die for me. But what I was saying at the moment ago, how the Lord has pointed certain things out. He will, you know, if you're his child, you point them out. Ah, it's a very wonderful thing, isn't it? How the Lord will use sometimes his own people and sometimes even a stranger to the things of God. I'll just give you a very feeble illustration of what I mean. Some years ago, I remember, I was so busy writing down a list of female names and boys' names. And a woman who knew nothing of godliness knew about it. She said, I should have thought you got something better to do. Oh, I did feel it. I did feel it. Well, I felt ashamed. Haven't you and I taken up things? It's been attractive to us, certain things presented, and, oh, followed it up for hours. What then? Well, it's vanity, isn't it? It's vanity. The Lord knows. It may not be what the world would call, or even the children of God, actually sinful, but to put the very best construction upon it, a waste of time. Don't want to waste time. I remember reading about a minister, a very blessed man. He didn't live long in this world. A blessed man. In the north, Scotland. Died before he was 29, I think. And I remember reading once in his diary, something like this. Oh, how jealous he was of his time. Spend it profitably. How don't we waste time? Oh, only the Lord knows in how many ways we may do it. Now, I'm not going to lead you to sign on, my friend. I hope not. Oh, I hope not. But some of you, I'm sure, will understand what I mean. And there are times when you say, as there is in that hymn which I was trying to quote a few minutes ago, soon as faith my Lord can see, bleeding on the cross for me. Well, if it is so, we shall follow bridge in that. All quick, my idols all depart. Jesus gets and fills my heart. Oh, you say, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want him to get and fill my heart. And I think it is Charles Wesley who says in one of his hymns, it's in our book, in Gatsby's book, is there a thing beneath the sun that strives with me, thy heart, with thee my heart to share? Strives with me. Strives with me to share this heart of mine. Oh, tear it then. Tear it then. Ah, it's hard work, you know. The flesh. It's hard work. But when, oh, that's it, as Berish puts it, as soon as you get a glimpse of Jesus, oh, Jesus and a drop, quick, my heart will all depart. And I say, every child of God has got that in him and that in her, a yearning after this. I mean, a desire. Oh, that I was doing. Swallow up my idols, Lord. Take them away. Take them away. Reign over me. Well, our hymn writer puts it, doesn't he? Reign over me as king. Accomplish thy will. And powerfully bring me forth from all ill. The way the Lord knew very well knows now. Of course he does. The way that we went, and the way that we're going now. And I do consider this word so glorious in this way. The Lord sees his backsliding children. Now he doesn't say, oh no, he doesn't say, I shall have no more to do with you. You've cold-shouldered me.
shown me the back, not the face. Ah, what a dreadful thing, isn't it, for a child of God to do it. Yes, but he doesn't say, I'll have no more to do with them. No, no. Sometimes it may appear almost as though his word means that. Ah, but we are wrong in coming to that doleful conclusion. The Lord has forsaken me. Zion said it. Oh, yes, Zion said, the Lord has forgotten me. My Lord has forsaken me. Can a woman forget her sucking child? She should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Oh, I remember looking it up in the original, and oh, I can't tell you the sweetness that there appeared to be in that one pronoun, I. It stands out in the original. It doesn't, you know, in the translation. It isn't standing out so clearly as in the original. I will not forsake. I'm God. I knew what thou wouldest do, and how thou wouldst forsake me and wander away after other gods, but I love thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Ah, it's a drawing. It isn't Sinai, you know, that will bring you to Jesus. I think some of you understand what I mean. Ah, no, it isn't the law. No, there's a preparation in a sense. Yes, the law was a schoolmaster. Ah, that word schoolmaster in the original means something very severe. It means one who brings out the cane, stick. Ah, schoolmaster, yes. But, you see, in the end, there's no salvation there. There's no salvation here. And this in it sinks down. Lord, I can't come up to the standard. Lord, help me. Yes, salvation is near to you, my friend. When you get down into those low places, it may not appear so at first, but you'll find it is so. He's very near to you. And those moments of dreadful despair when you say, well, I must just give it up. I don't know what else I can do. I can't walk another step. And one of our writers says, thou canst come to me. Oh, how sweet that was to me on one occasion. No doubt it has been sweet to you, some of you. Thou canst come to me. There you are, like a poor thing in bed. Can't move, can't get out of bed. Ah, thou canst come to me. And he does come. I will surely visit you. I will surely visit you. You know, as Joseph said, to his brethren and friends, the Lord will visit you. Ah, he was a real prophet, wasn't he? Yes, you found some prophets in this pulpit, I'm sure. You have, and you said, why, the man entered into my heart, turned me upside down, inside out. Ah, but it's God, isn't it? If he's pleased to do it, God using his servant. I have begged of him to use me over and over again. And I have in regard even to this evening's service. The Lord knows. Oh, Lord, don't let me stand up there and talk for nothing. With nothing in it. Do come and bless us together. The way which thou wentest. Oh, what a word was the word of God. And what people, I say, were the people of God. And some of you perhaps can remember how sweet was the prayer meeting. Ah, brothers, you may tell me, you may have a very gloomy tale to tell me and say, oh, it's a poor affair now, it's all miserable repetition, there's nothing in it. Oh, my friends, it won't always be like it. Let me assure you, it won't always be like that with God's dear people. And dryness and emptiness and repetition, I say, it won't always be like it. The Lord will revive his people. And then, same as it is in the ministry, though you've heard the things 100 times before, there's a freshness, a sweetness, there's food in it for the never-dying soul. When you come to the table, my friends, the ordinary way of life is the bread, the same sort of bread. We don't get tired, we're hungry. You don't say, well, look here, I've had enough of this. Oh, no, bread. The bread, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. You felt it, my friends, I'm sure you have. When other ministers have been here preaching the glorious gospel, the way that thou wentest, turn again, O Virgin of Israel. I've said sometimes in regard to our own particular place, I can imagine anybody in the world who really is in the world, whose affections are in the world, just putting his head in at the door in our place when we're there, you know, together and saying, oh dear, only about half a dozen of them. However, they can sit there and listen to that man, I can't think, well, I'm all fine. I've had enough of that. You see what I mean, friends? There's the natural way of looking at things. Oh, yes, indeed. And there's another way of looking at things. And the Lord will show you. He will come into the midst. If two or three, he says, only two or three, gather together in my name. Haven't you felt that sometimes? When a brother has been in prayer, you've said, Lord, we've gathered together.